Now, back to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS. Here's Dave Benton.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS. Also streaming online, 1320WILS.com. And become me and Scott's friend, 1320 WILS Weekend Kickoff on Facebook. Women's basketball players, dude, Michigan fans, whoever wants to come be our friend, by all means, come be our friend. We want to talk a little Tigers baseball. It's been an exciting 72 hours here. I think some big improvements for the Detroit Tigers, and I'm not sure who's on board with this signing, but the first signing, I will say, I'm happy with a lot. Brad Penny, 1 year, $3 million signed. Former St. Louis Cardinals pitcher, former Dodgers pitcher, former Marlins pitcher, has been pretty much everywhere. 1 year, $3 million, with a chance of $3 million more in incentives this year, depending on what he does. The other big signing, they were able to avoid arbitration with Joel Zamaya. He signed for 1 year, $1.4 million. But, Scott, I'd like to talk about this Brad Penny signing, and I see you making a face across, and I can understand why fans would be hesitant, because in Boston, he had a 5.61 ERA, which is not good in the AL, obviously. He also has had limited action over the last couple of years. He's been injury prone, but I got to tell you, when I look at the starting rotation that Detroit had going into getting Brad Penny, okay, and now out of it, I think at $3 million, considering what the market has been set at for a guy like Carlos Pena, who's getting $10 million and things like that, if you can get Brad Penny, who has potential to be, he kind of reminds me of Mike Hampton of the Braves, when healthy, he's a good pitcher. Problem is, he can never stay healthy. And so I look at Brad Penny and I say, you know what? $3 million, that's worth it to bring him in and be a third or fourth starter on this team. Because you look at the starters now, you're looking at Verlander, Porcello, Penny, Scherzer, and then maybe Galarraga, maybe Phil Koch, depending on who they decide. That's not a terrible rotation in the AL Central.
No, and hesitant is definitely the word I would use for my feelings. I think Brad Penny's great. He was great as a Dodger. Wasn't he an all-star starter at one point, or was that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brad Penny had a couple of years where his ERA was in the 2.5s range. I mean, he was a big-name pitcher when he was with the Marlins.
And it's just like you said, if he can stay healthy, if he can give you anything, $3 million is a steal for a starting pitcher, because you've got to realize, if he is able to do well, he wouldn't be the number three starter. He'd probably be the number two starter at the least.
If Brad Penny gives them 15 starts this year, to me that's a win.
Well, and look how much, if you really want to get into it, the money being spent, spending, what was it, $12, $15 million on Robertson?
Yes.
And Bonderman, spending way too much money on him. Dontrell Willis. So you take, what, 10% of that?
I was about to say, Dontrell, you're paying 3 years, $27 million. Right here, with a guy who I think has more potential on the major league level, pending he's healthy. I mean, because he can hit the strike zone. He's got a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. He's got a great changeup. Brad Penny's a good pitcher when he's healthy, and he's shown that. Now, here's what scares me, and this always scares me about these types of pitchers. The switch from the NL to the AL is always a major problem. Now, here's what you have to look out for. The first year is always the transition year. Now, Brad Penny went to Boston, then he went back to the NL for a couple of years. Injury-prone years, but he went back to the NL for a couple of years. So I wonder whether Brad Penny now will be able to look at that Boston season, and that was his transition period. And now, if Brad, okay, let's put it this way. If Brad Penny gets 15 starts this year and has an ERA about 4.3, 4.4, for what they're paying him to be a third or fourth starter, and frankly, if Scherzer shows anything this year, I think Penny's their fourth starter. I think you're looking at a great investment. He gives you depth at pitching, and who knows, you throw him into the bullpen.
Well, and if he's in the mid-fours for an ERA, that's a great ERA for the American League. You have to realize the main... it's a good change, because you've got to realize the main difference in stats when you switch from NL to AL, your ERA is going to go up by about a point. You kind of have to expect that. It's just the way it works.
I mean, 4.4 is not a great ERA. I think it's serviceable. It's kind of like a hitter hitting 250. You know, it's serviceable, it's competing on the major league level, but he's not going to give it to you.
If he's a third or fourth starter, that's a great ERA.
I still don't think it's a great ERA, not when you're talking about teams like Boston and New York and things like that, and teams like the White Sox, who pack pretty heavy punches in their rotation. I think your rotation's got to be better than that. But I think for the amount of money that they're paying him,
I think that that's a steal, and I think that would be a victory signing for Dombrowski if they were able to get that much production out of Brad Penny. You got to remember, Brad Penny's not a young dude anymore. He's been around 15, 16 years, I feel like. I got to look at the stats on that, but I'm pretty sure Brad Penny's been around a long, long time in this league. So the fact that they may be able to get production out of him, and the fact that you look at a guy like Brad Penny, who, you know, in a pitching world where guys last 10, 11 years, maybe, I think you get what you can out of Brad Penny. I think you do. Now, the other signing is Joel Zamaya. And, Scott, I think you're looking up the stat. He's 10 years? Penny's 10 years? Okay, so I was off on that. But, you know, double-digit years, he's edging that spot where you're going to start aging anyway. So 3 million years, pretty solid for a guy with the experience of Brad Penny. The other guy is Joel Zamaya, who I think, although he's overrated, Joel Zamaya can serve an excellent purpose in that bullpen. You look at the bullpen for the Tigers going into next year. You're talking a bullpen that's going to have Phil Koch, maybe, depending on if they decide to make him a starter. Ryan Perry, who I'm big on. I like Ryan Perry. I think he's got good stuff. I think another year in the major leagues is going to be good for him. Slareth, I think, is going to end up being an okay reliever in the major leagues. And then you throw in Zamaya. That's not a bad core bullpen for the Tigers. They need to strengthen it a little bit. I'd like to see a better closer than that. However, I think that they're pretty solid at bullpen.
For what the closer has been for the Detroit Tigers in the past, I am perfectly fine with Jose Valverde. He does. I mean, yeah, it's still a bit of a roller coaster ride, but you have to realize, I mean,
compared
Todd
to a
Jones
Fernando Rodney,
yeah, he's very consistent. I don't know, Rodney had a good year with 37 to 38 one season, but
well, you know, and that's the interesting thing about the whole closer thing is because, and it seems to become more and more every single year, is that closers have high ERAs and high save counts. Because the bottom line is they go in with 2 or 3 run leads, they give up 2 runs, but they get the save. You know, it kind of reminds me, for those of you that have read Moneyball, you know, it talks about how Billy Beane, his most valuable relievers were his 7th inning guys. And he used to use his quote-unquote closers to get trade bait, because he'd have a guy like Jason Isringhausen, who's got a 4.7 ERA as a closer, but puts up a whole bunch of saves, which to some people is an overrated stat. I'm not sure that it is an overrated stat. I think there's a lot to having a closer that if you get to the 9th inning, you know the game is over. I think that's important. But if you use closers to trade, you know, closers really aren't as valuable as people think. And they're really, other than Rivera, other than Papelbon when he was Papelbon, he's not anymore, there really are no legitimate closers that are just, you go to the 9th inning and you say to yourself, oh, this game's over, this game's done. You know, and to a certain extent, the 7-8-9 situation with bullpens has disappeared a little bit. I remember back in the early 2000s, you know, and even in the late 90s, there were a bunch of teams that had bullpens. So once you got to the 7th inning, that game was over. That was done. You might as well pack it in.
Everyday Eddie Guardado.
Yes.
He would come in every 7th inning, it seemed like. And that's what one of the scariest signings I've seen. Soriano to the Yankees to be the setup man.
That's a good signing. That's a great signing. You know, and the Yankees have done that year in and year out. They have a solid 7-8-9 type of thing, and that's the Red Sox have solids 7-8-9. The White Sox, when they were winning World Series, were a solid 7-8-9. And you know, let's face it, the Twins have always had a solid bullpen and have always had a pretty solid 7-8-9 with Joe Nathan and guys like Jesse Crane and things like that. So, you know, I think the Tigers are in okay shape, and like I predicted last week, I think the Tigers are going to shock people this year. I really do. And I think that signing of Brad Penny is going to improve that rotation. I think it's a great investment for them. Way to go, Tigers. Coming up next, talk a little bit about NFL draft entries. It's WILS Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.